recording on? Okay, very good. We have a quorum, and I have been asked to announce. I don't know if any senators are paying attention to anything that today, but we will attempt to get some interest in the subject at hand here. But in the meantime, they've asked us if we would turn off, members and testifiers, would turn off iPads and cell phones when in this room, because there is cellular interference and it's causing disruptions. And they are broadcasting this. This is on live today, this committee. So would appreciate if you would, if you're on a cellular iPad or cell phone, if you would just shut those off while we're in committee. Thank you for that. And we just have one bill before us. If that doesn't take too long, we may get a little bit more of an update on the capital facilities issues from our staff, so that we're ready to deal with those issues. Because I may be imagining things, but I think that bill ultimately came to us, so we may have to. We may have to do something with it. If I'm wrong, it is still a policy issue that we probably need to be starting to think about. So, Senator Wolf. The bill that we had the hearing, and I think we had testimony from both sides on last time, has been acted on by the House, so we do have the House file before us. Suppose, Senator Wolf, I believe you have a motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that House File 1870 be recommended to pass and favorably reported to the Senate.
Okay. And so this is the action that we will be considering. We're not necessarily going to vote on that right now, though.
No.
This is before us, and we'll be amending it. So Senator Wolf has moved to bring House File 1870 before us.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I move the A1 amendment, which is the author's amendment, to get the bill in the fashion that it needs to be in.
Is that still an author's amendment when you're amending the... We had an author's...
It's not the House bill.
Well, this is a new bill, so
yes.
Because we're dealing with the House bill. Okay, very good. We're not used to these, getting their bills to us this early. So this is you're moving, the amendment that you're moving is essentially the Senate language?
Correct. Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay, good.
And I would also like to make a verbal amendment to that amendment.
How about an oral one?
Okay, an oral one will work.
Okay.
And
do we have that amendment? It was the A1 amendment.
You have the A1,
that
yes.
is in our packets.
Yes.
Why don't we adopt that as your author's amendment, and then you can amend it orally.
Okay.
So all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Same sign. The motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. So now it's Senator Wolf, if you would like to.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In section, on page 6, line 22, and on page 8, line 29, there is reference made, the word publish that is made in that line. There's some confusion that might mean that it needs to be put in a newspaper. And so just to clarify that it does not have to be done in a newspaper, the oral amendment would read to strike publish and put make available to the public. That way school districts could use the websites or other means that they see fit to let the public be aware.
Okay, Senator Wolf has moved that on page 6, line 22, that we delete the first word, which is publish, and insert make available
to the public.
To the public.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any questions on...
One more, Madam Chair.
Okay.
On 829 as well.
Okay. On page, say that again.
Page 8, line 29.
To delete all.
Okay, so that's the same change. On page 8, line 29. Delete the word publish and insert make available to the public.
Correct. Okay.
So that is the amendment. Is there any discussion? Not all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is adopted. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Senator Wolf.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I do have one more amendment, which the A2 amendment. Which addresses some concerns that came up by the School Boards Association. And if it's all right, I would defer to Senate Counsel to explain this probably a lot better than I could.
Ms. Yonkers.
Madam Chair, members, this amendment, the first paragraph deletes section 2 on page 1, it basically going back to current law on how probationary teachers are treated by school boards with renewing or choosing not to renew their contracts or their probationary status. Then the lines 1.4 to 1.5 of the amendment then reinserts some language that was deleted that says the same thing about probationary teachers, that the school board can decide not to renew as they see fit. Then the lines 1.6, 1.7 of the amendment go to page 6 and then takes out similar language regarding probationary teachers as well. In the sections for the teachers and cities of the first class, and then does the same thing by deleting section 5 on page 6. Again, going back to the school boards treating probationary teachers as they fit under current law, okay, instead of adding them into the effectiveness categories and such.
Okay, now could you explain, because this was relating to Senator Bonhoeff's amendment. But does it, what does that do to the intent that was of that amendment to allow in the proposal of last in, first out, the consideration of the quality and of the probationary teacher as well as those who are already tenured?
Madam Chair, hopefully that clarifies the intent. That would allow school districts to still, based on the evaluation of probationary teachers, they would be included in consideration when there's a layoff.
And what part of the amendment does that? Could you, Council, explain that to us?
Sure, Madam Chair, members. The A2 actually leaves that portion intact. So the language in the...
Which is where?
Bill, yeah. Looking on page...
Okay.
Page 6. I said first, on page 3, where it includes probationary teachers at 3.15. That remains intact. It's just when you're dealing, only looking at probationary teachers at the end of their probationary, each probationary year.
So it does not... take away the intent of that Senator Bonhoeff has. Senator
yep.
Bonhoeff?
Madam Chair, just as I read it, I think this is a good solution. I think it communicates that probationary teachers are, in fact, at will in that classification, but yet it also says as you're looking at layoffs and you're looking through the lens of effectiveness that probationary teachers are in that pool, so I'm satisfied. The other thing that I can't remember and I'm trying to find is that other sentence that was part of my amendment about not using employees' remuneration as a basis for layoff.
Yonkers, I'm sorry.
Okay. Madam Chair, it's Ms. Butler, and it's, the first instance is on page 4, lines 3 and 4, that paragraph D, and then again it would be repeated in another spot, and I'll find it.
Page 4, lines what?
D.
4, 3, and 4.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah, 4, 3, and 4.
And just, Madam Chair, follow up. Just thank you, Senator Wolf, for working with those who are concerned but not losing the overall provision, because I think it it accomplishes that.
Is there any other discussion or questions, Senator Nelson?
Madam Chair, I just wanted to echo the thanks to Senator Wolf and Senator Bonoff for bringing that provision about remuneration as making sure that that is not a reason for unrequested layoffs. I know that was a concern of many in my district, yep. And I appreciate the fact that we have put that issue to rest. So thank you.
Senator Wolf, do you have anything more you would like to say? Or,
Madam Chair, are we're in order, correct? So now I can make comments?
Yes.
Sure. No, it was a week ago when we discussed this, members of the committee, and I just wanted to make some comments, if you can remember testimony that was made that long ago. Just some things that came up during testimony that I just wanted to comment on before opening up for discussion and questions. One of the biggest things that I wanted to point out that was brought up when dealing with seniority, people keep mentioning seniority and experience. And I want to clarify that probation does not necessarily mean teachers that are in their first 3 years of teaching. And so you could have a teacher with 15 years of experience who is a probationary teacher. And so this is not only dealing with teachers who are in their first 3 years. And so seniority does not necessarily equal experience. And so, you know, that will clarify that part. Also, the comments being made about how the process that we have now is a fair and orderly process. While it is orderly, I certainly would say it is not fair. It is not fair to the students, and it is not fair even to the teachers. Again, referring back to teachers with experience who are treated like probationary teachers. So it's I would say it's definitely not a fair system that we currently have.
Senator Wolf,
yes.
Just to clarify that a bit further, is that the reason is if they change employment to another district.
Yeah.
They're probationary, that tenure does not transfer with them.
Correct. Thank you, Madam Chair. To clarify, yes, those of you, the reason why you can have experience and still be a probationary teacher, when you get tenured in a school district, if you ever want to leave that school district, you become a probationary teacher again. And that can be a hindrance to a highly effective, experienced teacher who can jump from school district to school district. Once they've been tenured, they might find themselves being jumped and laid off every year with that probationary status. And so that is, in a sense, keeping several highly effective teachers out of the classroom. The one other comment I wanted to make was the comments that came up in regards to taking our time and waiting for the evaluation process to happen. And keep in mind, this is not a bill that is intended to remove ineffective teachers. This bill only addresses layoffs. And so that evaluation system is a whole different system as far as removing ineffective teachers. This is simply looking at a different way of the priorities that we give when it comes to a layoff and how we call teachers back. And so that as far as waiting for the evaluation, also keep in mind this does not go into effect until the year 16-17. That means your first graders now will be in middle school before this takes place. And so I'm a little leery about any talk about waiting any longer. That any kid who's in seventh grade now will not get the benefits of this bill. And we don't want to wait any longer before we take action on these steps. And I'm open for comments and questions.
Senator Tomasoni.
I don't know if this is for Senator Wolf or if it's for council, but there's several different. Are we working off the delete everything amendment?
Yes.
There's several different effective dates in this bill, and I heard Senator Wolf say something about an effective date. But just about every section has a different effective date in here, and so maybe somebody should say what's effective when.
Well, do you want to help us with that?
You don't?
I'll do my best, Mr. Chair. I believe, so the first section is a definition of what, and that goes into effect immediately. The A2 just deleted section 2. Then section 3, the effective date is effective immediately. Because and applies to plans negotiated after that date, because a district can negotiate to use this sort of plan looking at license effectiveness and then seniority before the teacher evaluation system goes into place that all districts have to have. If they have one now, they can negotiate something already. So that's why that portion allows for new negotiations after the effective date. Then section 4, the effective date is, again, immediately, but then paragraph N is effective 2016-2017 because all districts then have to have the plan based on the effectiveness categories and the evaluation system by the 2016-2017. And then you have that, and then the same reasoning applies to the other sections of the bill that relate to districts and cities of the first class.
So, Madam Chair,
Senator Thomason.
Just a little further clarification on section number 4. What does N do and what does the rest of it do?
Madam Chair and Senator Tomasoni, section 4, paragraph N is what happens for all districts beginning 2016-2017 as far as having to have this system in place. Then the prior parts of section 4, some of it's actually just clarifying language and then talks about being recalled from being on unrequested leave of absence. And those will go into effect immediately. However, that would just be for districts. The immediateness of it would work for districts that negotiate a plan prior to the 2016-2017. After that date, they all will be under those provisions that are before Section N.
So, Senator Tomasoni, what is being said here in part of this is that school districts can negotiate with and agree on this if they wish earlier. And some, I think there may be some that have. And then it can continue to go into effect. For those that haven't, this would affect them at 2016-2017. Senator Stump.
It's hard to digest the bill with just all the changes that have occurred. But I'm wondering that clause D on page 4, how does that ever become an enforceable kind of, and this is probably a question for the School Board Association, but it's a nice statement, but how do we ever know whether that actually is being used for what they're not supposed to use it for?
Is anybody here from the School Board Association that would like to address that?
Or does it just become an item for lawsuits?
This is current law. If you're looking at section 4?
No, I'm looking at 4.3 and 4.4.
Oh, 4.3. So that's section 3.D.
I understand the question.
Madam Chair, Kirk Steinman on staff of the School Boards Association, and I think this was a discussion we had when the amendment was put on about this. Is when we're evaluating teachers, I don't think we're. I mean, this isn't part of the equation. I think there was some issues, some other organizations who may be concerned that we were going to look at that as a condition. I would hope that when you, as a superintendent and an administrator or principal, are looking at the evaluation data, that's all you're looking at. I mean, that's the whether you have three categories or five categories, and it's based on effectiveness, and you're going through a ULA process, and you need to get rid of two ineffective teachers, for example, that you aren't even considering that. And I think that in part, that's why we're a little bit concerned it may trip us when we're going through this process, may trip us up. But I don't know how you're ever going to get there. I mean, perhaps if we're going to follow the law here, we're going to have to consider looking at those issues. But by and large, we're basing that ULA on the teacher effectiveness based on the evaluation.
Well, I think Senator Wolf made an interesting point earlier by pointing out that it doesn't necessarily match with experience, that you can have a very experienced teacher that has changed districts and is probationary. So the remuneration, they may well have also been credited with some of that in terms of the salary at the new district, even though they would not be tenured. So it's a complicated issue. But the point that I think they're trying to make is that when determining those layoffs, that you not use the remuneration as the factor, but rather the performance and the qualification or the excellence that they have demonstrated in an area that you believe you need to keep them in, rather than somebody that may have more tenure or seniority in that district, but may have never taught in that field.
Madam Chair,
but they're licensed in it.
It seems to me though that the whole purpose of layoffs is budgetary. I mean, the right now, I believe the school districts across the state are borrowing upwards of about $500 million. And that was kind of foisted on them as a result of either shifts in payments or lack of a budget. And so as a school board member, you see, I mean, there is no way around taking that how much an individual teacher is making into account. One of the problems that I think is innate in the negotiating process is that you have the older teachers taking care of themselves and not taking care of the young teachers. So you have this disparity in salaries that has grown dramatically. So as a school board, when you're faced to balance the budget and you see someone making $60,000 and somebody making $30,000, and I've heard from school boards across the state saying, you know, this will mean we have to lay off X number of teachers. They know, you know, what that teacher translates into. So I'm afraid that this is just an area ripe for some kind of a test, and it'll probably be legal.
You wish to respond?
Madam Chair, Kirk Steinman with School Boards Association and Senator Stumpf, I think perhaps you may be right. I mean, I think if you look now at the current ULA, our service manual has a whole section on the cases related to ULA that was enacted 40 years ago. And they have kind of created these arteries and paths that direct districts now. And so when we go through this process again and reforming that and changing that up, I think you're probably right that there's going to be some challenges that are going to occur. And as a result, we'll forge those new paths and new arteries that for the ULA process.
Well, Mr. Steinerman, the district does have to have a plan, a layoff plan,
right,
which is a part of this, and make it public. And it would seem to me if they have that, that they if they don't have that, that they would be more open to lawsuits than they would if they have it in place, which I presume would identify some of the policies that they will have, and we've said that remuneration can't be a part of that in consideration of making that decision.
Right. Madam Chair, and that's correct. I think we've talked about that, the publishing, and we change it to make the plan available to the public, and that would identify that.
Senator Bonham.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, when I hear from teachers who are for this, and I've been surprised by the amount of teachers who have emailed me saying that they actually do support it, they list the primary reasons be that they fall into that category where they don't have the seniority and they're concerned about their ability to keep their jobs. And when I hear from the teachers who are opposed to this, one of the common themes is that concern that Senator Stumpf raised, and that is a concern that because they are higher on the pay scale, that that will somehow affect their teacher evaluation. And so that they will, you know, somehow there will be some jiggering of that, and that is how they'll end up being less effective. But when I let them know that we put that sentence in there, they've actually been very appreciative because it's given them some comfort that there's a pathway for a legal challenge if, in fact, that could occur. And so, Senator Stumpf, you were the first one to raise that concern, and that's actually why I put it in the amendment that I offered. And the other thing is to just go back to the way the bill is crafted. So first you have the evaluation, which generally the principals who are doing that are often, particularly in bigger districts, they aren't the budget managers. They don't have access to, they aren't told to lay off a certain amount of teachers to equal a certain dollar amount. Traditionally in the bigger districts where this affects it most, that's a more administrative function. And so they, in fact, are just responsible for the evaluation part of that. And so there would be no incentive for them to fudge on that evaluation. And then the second factor is seniority. So once you've got your evaluations, and if you have, you know, three teachers that are highly effective, you're going to keep your more senior teachers. And I think as that should be. So I actually think the bill is fair in that way, and that we've crafted some language that will protect from administrators who are maybe trying to shave by getting rid of more senior people. But I don't think the principals, it may be different in outstate Minnesota where more of that administrative function is done by building, I'm not sure. But I know in the metro seven county area that is not done that way.
Madam Chair, I would also add to that, it's your most senior teachers are not always the highest paid. Number of years raises your salary less quick than your additional years or your additional credits in college. Well, your lanes and steps are different. So someone with more seniority may make less than somebody with less seniority. So even the way the system is now, somebody then with less seniority could argue, well, they fired me because I make more money, when that's not the case. It's based on, and now it has to do with seniority. So seniority is not, will not be the determining factor of the salary of the teacher. And I'd like to know what district I could make $60,000 in. I've got 26 years experience at a master's level, and I'm not there yet.
Madam Chair?
Senator Weir?
Thank you. Madam Chair, it's my understanding that the superintendent in consultation with the school board will usually come up with what they call the full-time equivalent staffing pattern, or FTE, and then that will be allocated to each building equitably. It's not based on the dollar per position, but the full-time equivalent for one position. And then the principal, with input from stakeholders, whether it's a site-based council or a combination of factors, will decide how to allocate for teachers, counselors, or whatever based on that FTE allocation.
Mm-hmm. Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Wolf, I have a question. So if you have a, and this is a hypothetical, but say you have a sixth grade teacher who's on the verge of being laid off, could that sixth grade teacher bump another teacher who has a less favorable evaluation, say a first grade teacher, if they have equal levels of seniority within a school?
Are you talking, Madam Chair, are you talking about currently or with the bill?
Senator Wolf.
That would be left to the discretion of the school board to decide. Your highly effective teacher is going to have the priority over the less effective. Are you referring to the difference in the grade level? If they have appropriate licensure to move to another grade level, then they would still be okay, because number one is still licensure. So if they're qualified to teach at a different level, they would still be in the running, so to speak. Then the second would be their evaluation.
Senator Wolf, what I'm getting at is, I think if I understand what you just said, I think I'm understanding this correctly. So I'm looking at the substantially different grade level assignment, mm-hmm. but it looks like grades 1 through 6 are within that within a category, so they're not substantially different. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Senator Sieben, it depends on their licensure. If they're licensed K through 6, again, that would be... depending on how the licensure works, that would leave it up to the school board to decide whether or not that would be a jump. For example, there are some licensures that are K through 8, some are K through 12, some are 1 through 6, some are K through 6. There's variables in the licensures. And so would it be appropriate for someone who's been teaching 8th grade for the last 15 years to suddenly jump down and teach 1st grade? That's a huge difference, and so I would say that's probably not the what's going to be best for those students.
Right, and Madam Chair, and I was thinking, I was just looking at the discrepancy between first and sixth grade mm-hmm. because that's what's cited in the bill as a, on line 4.1. And so my question then is, if that's possible, I'm just thinking practically, if you have a sixth grade teacher and a first grade teacher, and the sixth grade teacher essentially there needs to be a layoff at that grade level and then moves to, say, a first or second grade mm-hmm. position, how does the school board know, or how do any of us know that that teacher will be a better first or second grade teacher than the teacher that has a similar evaluation but had to be let go?
Madam Chair and Senator Sieben, I want to make sure I'm even understanding your question. So someone who's in that first and through sixth grade, is that what you're referring to in that category? Again, I would say that's within the school board to determine whether or not that person who's been teaching that grade level for, 10 years is more appropriate than the person who's been teaching, let's say it's a first grade opening. So that person who's been teaching first grade for 10 years be bumped because someone who's been teaching sixth grade is the one who's going to be laid off. Which is best for those students.
So, Madam Chair,
Senator Sieben,
I'm not trying to trip you up on a hypothetical here at all. I'm just trying to understand if it sounds like what you're saying, it's up to the school board's discretion if you have your teachers evaluated using a similar method, mm-hmm. then if one teacher comes up and they have the same levels of seniority, mm-hmm. if one teacher has a slightly better evaluation, then that teacher could bump a different grade level teacher. That's what I'm asking.
Senator Wolf?
Madam Chair, I believe if I'm understanding your question correctly, yes, because they're in the same area of expertise. And so at that point, if there's a layoff, teachers within an elementary school can shift grades all the time. Whether there's a layoff or not. They may say, I'm tired of teaching third grade, I want to teach fifth grade. And, you know, if there's able to be a shuffle, that can happen. So in the event of a layoff, they would look at them as a whole, and because they're all in the same licensure, then at that point it would go to the qualification or the evaluation and then to the seniority.
And, Madam Chair, can I ask
one? And in that case, it might not be based on finances, it may be based on the population of those grade levels in a the number of students that are there as well. That's is why there may be a layoff at an elementary level. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Senator Zeeman.
Thank you. I have one other question. If can a school board then decide to lay off teachers within a particular school, or will they have to rate all of their teachers on a continuum and then make the decisions for how the teachers get shuffled around?
Madam Chair, Senator Stephen, this does not change how that process happens. Currently in a school district, they include all the teachers in the pool. So they would not say this teacher at this – you don't have a separate layoff per building. It's a school or a school district-wide layoff when it happens. And so, yes, you might – in order to keep teaching third grade, you might have to go from this school to that school. Or you might go from teaching fourth grade here to teaching second grade at another school. So it's not done individually by school. It's per the entire school district.
I just wonder if anyone's thought – I'm sure you've thought about, but then wouldn't that – it could essentially skew the evaluation that the principal gives the teachers within his or her own building if they want to keep their team together. Because if they know that there are layoffs that are coming and they want to keep the teachers within their school, they'd be likely to evaluate their teachers through that lens, knowing that they're evaluating against being evaluated against other teachers across the district.
Madam Chair, Senator Stephen, there's no guarantee that principal will be at that building. So for them to be stacking up their building wouldn't make sense either, because they might be shifting building as well.
Any further questions or discussion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam Chair, how does it work in the case of, okay, so a teacher was talking to me the other day and said that she had a class of 20 kids last year, and this year she had a class of 32. And I said, wow. I said, last year must have been way better for you. She said, no, it wasn't, because we had these six disruptive kids in the class, couldn't control them, had terrible results as a result of it because they disrupted the entire rest of the class. This year I had 32 wonderful kids. It was great. We had great results. This particular type of a situation ends up having the teacher as a terrible teacher 1 year and a great teacher the next year. And she's probably a great teacher all the time, but because of circumstances, because of kids, because of whatever happens in the classroom, suddenly we're grading her on this type of stuff, and now she gets laid off because of the kids she had. I hate to say this, Senator Wolf, but I think this bill's an attack on teachers. And I'm really, really getting tired of people attacking teachers because, boy, oh boy, I used to do a hockey school in the summertime. I was never a teacher, but I used to do a hockey school in the summertime. And it would take me 2 days every summer before I said, teachers deserve every day off that they get, because dealing with kids is not easy, and being a teacher is not easy. And the way we attack them in this legislature and make them believe that they're not doing them their job by putting bills forward that are going to do all kinds of things to them all the time, and they never know what they're supposed to do next, I don't know how they're supposed to do their job. I honest to God wish you would withdraw this bill and throw it in the garbage, because school districts have enough problems, teachers have enough problems, and now we're trying to put forward something that is basically saying to them, we don't like the job you're doing because we're going to change the whole seniority system. That, in my mind, if I'm a 22-year-old, I want to have the ability to say that I have tenure. I want to have the ability to say that I've been here long enough that now I'm not going to get laid off. Because why would I go into the profession otherwise? The way we're attacking our schools in this legislature over the last 4 or 5 years is it's actually embarrassing, to tell you the honest to God truth.
Senator Chamberlain?
Madam Chair?
Senator Wolf.
I'm going to try and address several of those. First of all, with the evaluation piece, that is why it is so important that the task force that is currently working on that evaluation needs to look at all those variables. I would agree with you. I have taught class sizes of over 40 kids in a classroom, and I currently teach where if I have 12 kids would be the maximum number of kids I would have in the classroom. If I were evaluated based on the performance only of those students, I would never be rehired the next year. So there are a lot of variables that are going to have to go into this evaluation. I agree completely.
And that says a lot about class size as well. When people argue about class size, and I've always said, give me 50 kids that are well-behaved and have supportive parents, not a problem. Give me 10 kids that don't have that, that's a problem. So class size is not the issue either. Also, as far as seniority, it's frustrating as a teacher to lock a teacher into a school district. You know, you bring up that you want to gain this tenure. You get tenure in a school district. If you ever leave that school district, you are back to the bottom of the totem pole. And you don't get tenure unless they happen to hire you again. So that is a huge, I'll give you an example. I was 10 years experience in a school. I decided to leave that school and go to another school, a district. And I was back at the bottom. I was replaced by somebody. That year we happened to have a layoff. I went to a school, an alternative setting, where I created a program, absolutely loved it there, had great evaluations, but that year there was a layoff. I was replaced by a teacher with about half the experience that I had, who did not want to come to that school, did not want to teach there, but she also wanted a job. Now, she used that year as a stepping stone until the following year, which she could get somewhere else where she wanted to go. Was that fair to those students to have that happen? Did they have the best teacher in that classroom for them? And that is my bottom line, is I want to make sure we are putting the best teachers in front of the students. As far as the evaluation part of it, that's a huge task. And teachers are greatly represented on that task force. And as a teacher, I do not feel attacked by this at all. I feel there are, when a layoff happens, some teachers keep their jobs, some teachers lose their jobs. We all pay our union dues. We are all represented by the union. Those first-year teachers pay just as much as I do. And we all deserve the same representation. So it's not just about some teachers keeping their job. We are all valuable teachers. And in the unfortunate situation of a layoff, I think that we need to have a system where we are keeping the best teachers in front of the kids.
You know, Madam Chair, I have a brother who's been teaching since he was got out of college, and he's gone all over the country, and he's done it because he's chosen to do it. If a teacher decides to move from one district to the next because they don't want to teach in one district, or because in my brother's case, his wife was getting a better job each time, and he was following her around the country, they can do it. That has absolutely nothing to do with that particular choice of a teacher to stay in a district because of the tenure, or move to another district because or lose the tenure as a result of moving to another district, should have nothing to do with what we're talking about here, because quite frankly, if a teacher wants to move, they should be able to move. If they lose the tenure, well, they know what they're getting into. They're making the decision on their own. I mean, I've had it happen in my family. He's lost his tenure, and he's reestablished it in other places. But I whether you're a teacher or not, Senator Wolf, I still think this is an attack on teachers. I think we had an attack on teachers last year. Governor vetoed that one. I hope he vetoes this one. But quite frankly, I wish we would stop doing things to our teachers so that they can just teach.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, as a former teacher, I see nothing in this legislative session that has been an attack on teachers. Now, I wasn't here for the last 4 or 5 years, so I'll let others speak to that. But I have heard over and over in this committee that teachers are our most important in-school variable, and the data demonstrates that. So this bill simply is a measure, an opportunity to make sure that school districts, when they are facing layoffs due to declining enrollment or financial concerns, that they can choose to get those most effective teachers and keep them in the classroom. And I have heard from younger teachers who have been the victim of layoffs, not because they were ineffective, but because they had been in the school district for less than 3 years. So we must make sure the record accurately reflects that the teacher is the most important in-school variable. And whether we're talking about adding more dollars to the school formula, as we did last year, or whether we're talking about removing mandates or giving our schools flexibility, it is factually inaccurate to say that this past year has been anything other than realizing how important teachers are in our school district.
Chair.
So what you want to continue, keep an ongoing debate here, Senator Tomasoni?
To say that you didn't attack teachers in the last session is completely false, because you went right after everything that they stand for. I mean, you went after the seniority, you went after their bargaining rights, you went after you went after everything. And it was in the bills that we passed off, put on the governor's desk, and he vetoed them. It was all part of your budget. You attacked every union you could attack. You attacked every teacher you could attack. You attacked everybody you could possibly attack. So don't say it didn't happen in this legislative session.
Is there anybody in the audience that would like an opportunity to testify today? Come to the table and introduce yourself.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Don Hill. Hi. I was
welcome, Mr. Hill.
Former teacher from Northfield, Minnesota. Former teacher and coach. I also a former president of the Minnesota Education Association for 8 years. Prior, it was the forerunner of Education Minnesota. I was the executive director of the NEA affiliate in Rhode Island for 10 years, and presently I'm a consultant for Thunheim, the public relations firm out of Bloomington. I just want to talk to you about the consequences and the unexpected, unintended consequences of this legislation, along with a lot of other legislation. I appreciate some of the comments made about teachers, because there has been a lot of attacks on them. I don't have a job now to deal with this, and so I started writing a blog, thinking that would keep me from chasing cars and finding somebody else to argue with. And this morning, first thing I heard when I woke up is they're really looking at another test, reading and writing and whatever, before you could get your license. And if that is an attack on the profession and on the colleges that educate these people, and on the administrators who hire these people, I mean, the whole situation is kind of irritating. And the unintended consequence that I see is that the authors of this bill should get membership awards from the union, because every time you squeeze any piece of an organization like an organized teachers, the union has to defend it. Back in the 70s, we had to get a bargaining law because we couldn't get our salaries up. Eventually, Bob Ashback and Nick Coleman fashioned together a bill that gave us a right to strike. Governor Quay, a Republican, signed it. And that's why we got some of the things we have in the education community right now. Teacher salaries were at 26th in the nation. After two bargaining contracts with our right to strike, we were 7th in the nation in the average teacher salary. Right now, we're below the national average again. There's every reason for me to believe that when you initiate this and when it goes back to the community, that teachers will have to organize the parents, their friends, anybody else that votes, and the courts to try to defend the individual rights of a person that went to college, got a degree, hired, interviewed, and has the position. There's every reason for them to fight to hang on to what they have. And I'm belaboring my point. I just think that if, in fact, you think you can put a number on and put a category on teachers and make it stick, I think you're making a mistake. It's like you should have rank the teachers from the top to the bottom in each division to decide who's going to come and who's going to go. That's so fraught with legal problems, I can't believe you'd want to even try that.
Who's doing that?
I thank you for the opportunity. Anybody have any questions, I'd try to answer it anyway. But thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Senator Wolf, is there any ranking that's required in this? Okay.
Madam Chair, no, there's not.
I guess part of my reaction is that senior teachers that have been there a long time are some of the most excellent. Why would they worry that they would be outranked or they would be passed over or removed over a younger, less experienced teacher?
Well,
I would say the only situation might be where someone has kind of retired on the job and it has not really wanted to keep up until they met retirement. I don't know that those, I'm not suggesting that there's a lot of those, but if this says, hey, we're valued, but we have a job to do and keep that up for as long as they are in that role, I don't know what in the world there's anything to worry about on this.
Well,
but there are situations where you do find that someone that has been there a long time has ceased, and the ones who are first to know this happen to be the parents and those of the kids who are in these classes, and recognize that if a teacher that is stronger is let go and that person is allowed to continue, that's kind of what's brought this kind of thing about. It's not meant to be an attack on teachers. I'm a former teacher too, and I know how hard it is because I have a tendency to drive myself, and I drove myself into the ground for more than 1 year in working hard in the classroom, and changed districts too, and I could care less about the tenure. I was 3 years in one and gained tenure and went on to a new challenge, and I think teachers that are, you know, called in that direction, and I see some of the very experienced ones that are active in the union, they're outstanding teachers. They don't have a thing to worry about with this in relation to a younger teacher. And that kind of bothers me, that any time that we have some kind of reforms, that it is viewed as an attack. It's really not intended. I certainly don't, or I wouldn't have been here and tried to work to do things to improve our system and get some of the barriers out of the way that are making it almost unsustainable. And I think we've got to, that's what concerns me, is that our public education system may not be sustainable if we aren't looking to the future and some of the reforms that are needed.
Madam
so
Chair.
I, but I thank you for expressing
Madam
your...
Madam Chair, could I just yes, make
yes,
a brief
Mr. Hill.
Comment? I agree with everything you said. The difference in our position, though, is that as a teacher who taught in three different schools and started in 1955... I have worked with excellent school board members. I've worked with Nazis for school board members. I've worked with excellent principals, excellent superintendents, all of them. But I went to first place I went to work, never had a Catholic teacher there until the first year I was there.
Madam Chair,
and that became a big deal.
Senator Hand?
Did the witness say that he worked with Nazis on school boards? Is that what you said?
Yeah, what it was,
is that what you meant?
It's an overstatement, of course.
Wow.
And what I meant was people who didn't want to listen to anything we had to say. And I'll apologize for that because I guess I don't know any Nazis.
And Madam Chair, and I am a former school board member, and there are others in the room, and I knew of no Nazis in the school board association, and I think that was uncalled.
But there were some that were different. Yeah.
Madam
Thank
Chair.
You very much.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
I think it's time to end this. Yeah. Senator Stump.
Just to get back to the language on page 6 in line 6.12, where it talks about the most effective category. It seems like those references do mean there is going to be some kind of a list. And maybe I stand to be corrected because I'm taking some of this maybe out of context, but is that correct, Senator Wolf? I mean, there will be some kind of a list that the school board will be working off of, right?
Madam Chair, are you referring to the three tiers, or?
I think what I'm referring to is that when you talk, when the evaluations come in, they have to form a list from the most effective to the least effective. So there is some, there is going to be some kind of a list that the school boards will have to work off of, I assume.
Madam Chair, Senator Stumpf, they would fall under one of the three categories that the evaluation task force is currently working on.
Would it be correct to say that the outcome of the evaluation will rank in some fashion, whether it's, you know, the most effective to the least effective?
Madam Chair,
Senator Wolf,
the ranking, so to speak, will be which category. We use the terms highly effective, effective, and ineffective. The evaluation task force might come up with 1, 2, 3, ABC. There will be three tiers. They will not be ranked within those tiers. They will be on, in one of the three tiers.
That, Madam Chair, that draws even more question as to if there isn't going to be a definitive ranking, what would prevent a teacher from, if one teacher was laid off and they both had the same seniority and they both were in the same category and another teacher not laid off, what would prevent the teacher who is who's terminated from some sort of action against the board?
Madam Chair, Senator Stumpf, there will not be a tie in seniority because, as I've said before, we get placed to the minute when we are hired. So unless you have teachers that are hired the exact same minute, there won't be a tie with seniority. And in my years of teaching, I've never known of anybody that was hired the exact same minute.
Ms. Ciccone, like to...
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members. My name is Mary Ciccone. I'm with Parents United for Public Schools. We are supportive of adding quality. But our concern is most of the concerns that have been brought up today are pointing out our greatest concern. This is all based on an evaluation system that has yet to be developed. As a matter of fact, the committee has yet to determine that there will be three levels, yet the law talks about these levels. One of the important components here is that that evaluation system must be tremendous, and it must be validated. And at this point, while there are a few pilots going on in the country, no state has developed this yet. So if indeed this is going to happen, which we believe it should, we really need this evaluation process to be premier and to be validated, not just for teachers, but so that we're not just having our kids become really good test takers, but that our kids are going to really receive high-quality education, which I truly believe the author wants.
Well, I think that is why the dates are set where they are, to be sure that we have that in place. We also do have the requirement from the NCLB waiver to have at least three categories of three of teacher effectiveness. So that's part of that structure is driven by others as well, rather than just ours. But I would hope that a good teacher effectiveness and evaluation system can be put in place, and that the principals one can be ahead of it, so that they are capable of conducting effective evaluations that are fair and open as well. Thank you so much for your testimony, Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a comment because I had a conversation with Senator Wolf about some ideas and some questions, and What I decided, I so appreciated that she left some time in between the last presentation and this presentation to kind of interact with our districts. And I just have to say that I am quite concerned and astounded that I have not received more calls from different districts and administrators. I received some calls originally kind of related to some of the legal aspects that may develop as a result of it that specific districts may have to encounter. And Madam Chair, what you just said about the date put some kind of a reassurance to people that, you know, they are going to wait for an evaluation. And the question they had is, are we really prepared to devote the resources and the time to put a good evaluation system in place? And why are we doing this now? And whether or not we fear that there might be some legal ramifications to this process. Unfortunately, I have to say here today that I have not received one call from administrators in my district or people that should be concerned about that, that we're doing this. And I stated in my last hearing, Senator Wolf, that I did think that it was appropriate that we look into developing a good, sound, strong evaluation system before we move into doing this. I still feel very strongly that that's the way to do it. I know you feel very strongly about doing it the other way around because you want to get it done, and I understand your impatience. I think all of us really want to do something now for our kids, and that, you know, we share our, you know, a great deal of passion for that. But I have to say this publicly because I am concerned about really the lack of presence here on behalf of our teachers. If there are concerns that have been expressed about this, I have not heard more concerns. I really would have liked to hear those concerns and understand more, you know, what are the implications for the local districts for the implementation of this policy. So I wanted to leave that on the record.
You know, I appreciate your comments. It's interesting to me that one of the things that we've addressed in here is that districts that have negotiated, that do have developed their own evaluation systems and have negotiated this very thing in terms of layoff, you know, may continue and are not bound by those years. They can continue with that. I have great admiration for both both sides of the equation here, the teachers' union as well as the administration and school board that have been able to work and develop that. They are not ignoring the fact that this is critical to keeping quality teachers in the classroom. We've got a few years. Those that are in that, we ought to learn more, not just us. But I hope that is being shared more broadly, that districts may just go ahead and in fact, negotiate such a plan and have it in place. So the idea that this is a bad thing to do, I think, has already been negated by the districts that have decided to do it with the normal processes. And I don't, you know, you hate to tell them you've got to do this, you know, by negotiation if they haven't been able to come to that themselves. But we recognize and appreciate that. But put in place at least a model, and it still will go back to their own evaluation and their plan for doing this and how they will handle this when the situation arrives when this is in place. But it gives time for that reflection, and who knows what kind of actions. I like to see leadership among our districts without us having to tell them what to do, and yet there's some reasons for, as we're working to be sure that quality teachers are before within the classes, that this is an element that we hear from generally from parents and students rather than from the establishment, if you will.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Jan Allswiger, Education Minnesota. I wasn't going to get up and testify again today because I testified previously, but there were some comments that I thought I would speak about to clarify. In this amendment, if you look at lines 3.12, and then again on line 8.11, it says that the school board may negotiate. Your previous version said that the school board must negotiate. But I would say there really is little difference in that, because then if you look, let's go back to page 3.12. If you go down to 3.17, if the school board fails to successfully, so even if you had a must, and if it didn't, if the negotiations didn't work, the school board can do whatever they want. So I want to clarify. Number one, for approximately 40% of our school districts already have negotiated seniority and ULA arrangements that work for their community. They worked with the teachers' union, the administration. If there were issues related to any particular subject area or community need, those have been negotiated, and they can continue to negotiate. I will also state that not one of those, to my knowledge, is a program like this. This is a drastic change to what we are doing currently. And I would also remind you that in the evaluation bill and law that was signed in last year, it says very clearly that if a teacher does not make progress in a teacher improvement plan, that the superintendent or designee can discipline as he or she deems appropriate, including a leave, transfer, anything else, including termination. In the evaluation, I'll repeat that, in the evaluation law you passed last year, it states that the administrator may terminate a teacher if they are not making progress as they are supposed to in their teacher improvement plan. This bill is not necessary. This is going to create, I believe, a lot of chaos, a lot of grievances, possible lawsuits, and a number of you brought up the various issues. I could go over those if you'd like. But the evaluation bill that you passed is what we want to work on now. Let's recognize those good teachers, those teachers who are having difficulties. Let's put them through the teacher improvement process. And if they are not performing, then the administrator should should discipline as they deem appropriate, which is the law. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Altschweiger. Is there any questions or further discussion? Or,
Madam Chair?
Senator Wiener.
I had a question. Is there anyone here representing the Minneapolis School District? Madam Chair, may I ask a question?
Yes. If Mr. Graswell will yield, huh?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, Jim Graswell, Minneapolis Public Schools.
So, Mr. Graswell, do you support the legislation? Does the school board support it?
Mr. Chair and members, and Senator Wiener, Madam Chair and members, Senator Wiener, we don't have a position on this. I don't know if you've been following our news. We're still in bargaining. We've just gone into mediation, and my taking a position on, or me or the Minneapolis School Board taking a position on this, creates a problem for us in bargaining. So we're following it attentively. We're talking with people about the issues. We're negotiating some of these very issues. We're piloting a teacher evaluation program at our 6 school improvement grant schools. That's going quite well. This is probably more information than you wanted. So the short answer is no. The longer answer is we're working on these very issues, and I thought Mary Ciccone made a very good point about we passed a law on teacher eval. We're implementing that law right now. It's going well for us, and we're negotiating around some of these other issues, flexibility around hiring and layoff, and That's all I can say. We're negotiating those issues, but we don't have a formal position on this bill. We're wrestling with the very same issues. I think in many school districts around the state we are.
Thank you.
Well, Madam Chair, you know, the argument's been made that the argument's been made that it's negotiable and that you are negotiating it. The most cogent testimony came from parents in Minneapolis who argued for change, and they basically said the system's broke, and I didn't hear a defense or a rebuttal on that. And I agree with what Ms. Allswager said, that if a teacher is not proficient or if they're going to be put on notice, then there is a mechanism in place to address that inefficiency and leading to dismissal. But then I read in the paper, I do follow the news, and I read that there's a lot of teachers that have not been dismissed for whatever reason, and that's, there's been parent testimony, and so I'm wondering, are there ineffective administrators? Is the school board, is there a problem in terms of the connection between, you know, parent advocates and the best interests of the kids? And as you think about your answer.
Is that you're expecting an answer rather? That's not a rhetorical question.
Well, it's partly rhetorical, but it's a statement, because I have problems with the bill. But I'm very frustrated when I hear from parents. We all want to close the achievement gap, and when we hear these parents so frustrated, you know, I want the system to work. And the system, which usually has at least 100 or so teachers apply for a position, usually the principal can get a top grad. You go through a rigorous evaluation. Usually you know in a job within a few months whether you cut it. And within 3 years, they should be pretty good. If a principal missed out, that principal is ineffective and should be terminated.
Well, so
That's
an issue of ongoing. If somebody is ineffective, being able to remove it, I don't see that's what this bill is addressing. This bill is just addressing a piece that at the time of layoff, that district should have a plan, so that it isn't just seniority that's driving the layoff. That in fact there is a mechanism that if an outstanding teacher is less seniority and yet is what's needed in a program or for the needs of that school, that they don't have to follow the strict seniority basis or the tenure basis. It's only in those kind of circumstances. And I'm hoping that our evaluation system will get to that point. And certainly administrators need the preparation and need to be able to be effective in dealing with it and also have the guts to follow through. I think we've had the St. Paul superintendent she's been working hard at doing that. And I can't speak for Minneapolis, but there may be some of that. That's an ongoing thing of how you keep your force effective. This was just dealing with, and if they're both highly effective, and as I said, experienced teachers, it doesn't necessarily mean they're less effective. A seniority, and then what have they got to worry about? Because that will come into play as well in this decision.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm hoping the evaluation system will work too, and you're acknowledging that we will be looking at evaluations and making that decision. However, before we roll that out as a requirement, and I point out different safeguards that we have right now, it's a mess across the country in terms of these evaluations and this race to the top. When you look at Tennessee, Delaware, there's recent articles just saying they don't know what they're doing on these evaluations. We can hand out things on the floor and show that they don't have it down yet on the evaluations. And, you know, so we're hoping it's going to work. But I appreciate your at least hearing, you know, my thoughts, frustrations, and Mr. Grathwell.
Thank you very much.
I think we're not going to stretch this out. We need to vote, Senator Bonner.
Madam Chair, I'll be brief. I just want to respond to Ms. Ciccone's remarks, because I have great respect for Parents United and so would never dismiss testimony that you bring forward because you represent such a broad coalition. But I think as we look at the Teacher Effectiveness Task Force, and I know Senator Sieben's on that. I don't know who else around this table. Senator Wolf, are you on that?
The evaluation?
Yeah, okay. So, and I know there is a very broad coalition. I think what this legislation does is it lets that task force know that as they develop their product, their teacher evaluation product, they should keep in mind it will be used to make decisions with regard to layoffs. I think that's important for the legislature to have that kind of leadership so that the teacher evaluation piece knows what they're charged with. I think it would be a mistake to have them do that in a vacuum, thinking they were just doing a teacher evaluation system for ongoing evaluation rather than considering that that may be part of it as they develop the parameters. So,
okay. There's no further discussion. Are we ready to vote? Senator Wolf renews her motion that House File 1870, as amended, be recommended to pass and reported to the Senate. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
I do believe the ayes have it. The motion prevails, and the bill is passed and sent on its way to the floor. Thank you, Senator Wolf, and thank you for all who have been contributed to the discussion, as well as participants.
The eyes won.
The meeting is adjourned.
Surprise.